Toledo's hosted some huge neutral site games themselves.
So we'll do neutral site challenges.
Yeah. And I've always said, like, I mean, Ohio State, Michigan should be played in Toledo. Bum, 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 bum. Like, Toledo should build an NFL-sized stadium just for that one event a year. Because Toledo's like the cultural heart of the rivalry.
It is the cultural heart of the rivalry. What? They play the Battle of I-75, but what is Ohio State and Michigan? The Battle of 23.
Yeah,
why don't we call it that? Why don't we have them both in Toledo?
But remember in like 2006, it was like the SBC Ameritech Classic, I believe. And I think both schools were going to get maybe $1 million to name the game. And there was such a fan revolt that they said, all right, they backed out like a week later.
Wow, I don't remember that.
I believe it was Ameritech. I think it was like the SBC Ameritech Classic.
That's what they wanted to rebrand.
They were
going to
sponsor the game. And each school was going to get maybe $1 million. They just thought, whatever, it's free money. It's not going to change the game.
No one's going to care.
I think they put a little sponsor patch on the field and...
Turns out we cared.
Whatever. Turns out we cared.
Turns out we cared. You know, this wouldn't be beyond Toledo. Yeah. We've built a 100,000-seat stadium before.
That's right.
I know you were around for Jack Dempsey winning the world championship.
That is true.
Let's take Ohio State, Michigan out to Detweiler Park.
Right. Why not? Build it. Yeah, that's even
right
better because,
coast.
Hey, obviously we can't support a 100,000-seat stadium, but there's no reason why you can't just build a temporary wooden 120,000-seat stadium every year.
It's time for Point Place to be recognized.
Absolutely.
As the heart of the heart of the heart of the
Absolutely.
Rivalry.
Absolutely. I think the stadium they built for the Jack Dempsey fight was the biggest stadium in the world at that time. And they just put it up in like a month at a fight attended by none other than Wyatt Earp.
That's why we have the show built around you. Toledo columnist David Briggs, unending fountain of information. I didn't know either of those things about the Jack Dempsey fight. I did know that they had it here because Toledo has loose laws.
Yeah.
That's why they wanted to have it here because other cities weren't going to have it. So that is also why I am the host of the Heart of the Rivalry because of loose laws.
That's why you moved here.
Yeah. I'm Phil Kaplan. He's Dave Briggs. We are recording on a Wednesday here in Toledo at the Blade, just after one of the most ideal Tuesday nights of Maction you could have. Both Bowling Green and Toledo playing. I was at the Toledo versus Directional Michigan Central.
Wow, that's cool.
Had a couple punny headlines that were rejected. My favorite was Rockets crisp the Chippewas.
That's good.
Forced five turnovers. That was pretty good.
Did you suggest them
right before half? I did in my photo gallery. They were rebuffed.
Okay.
I think the one I chose was Rockets knock Chippewas off block.
Okay.
I was happy with that.
That's
one
good.
Too. You were at BG. I was at UT. Where do you want to start?
Well, Bowling Green was the bigger game, Phil, so let's start there. Probably the MAC showdown of the season to date. Both teams are 4-1, tied atop the league. Bowling Green has now won 4 straight games. Just very impressive performance on both sides. Bullied them on both sides of the line. Their stars kind of took it from there. Hailed Harold Fannin, their sensational tight end. He just continues to amaze. 1, 2, 3 guys draped on him every play, and
pro
he
body.
Just keeps
Has
making
a pro
the
body.
Catches. Oh, yeah, incredible. Great speed, great body control, vice grip hands. He's the full package. And for some reason, they give me a vote for the AP All-American team, and he will be my first team vote for tight end.
Yeah.
He's absolutely unbelievable. And then Terrion Stewart, who you've talked endlessly
Stack
about, just
balls.
An absolute bowling ball, wrecking ball of a running back, 150 yards. And just the defense was pretty impressive, too. I mean, I think they joined Ohio State. It's just the second team to limit Western Michigan to less than 100 rushing yards. Western Michigan top offense in the MAC. So big-time statement win. I wrote a couple weeks ago that Toledo win was Bowling Green's biggest win of the Loeffler era, but this one was right there. And, you know, there's something to be said for So, I mean, I think we've had a lot of questions in this long rebuild of Scott Loeffler. 6 seasons in now, it looks like they have a team tough enough, talented enough, and finally consistent enough to get it done.
UT did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Not nearly as exciting, but their defense played tough. That was good to see. They've got a middle linebacker named Daniel Bolden.
I don't know if you had a chance
to see him play.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, they say he puts his nose in there.
Yeah.
Puts his nose in there. Every play.
He's had a couple ACL tears, so it's great to see him back and playing so well the last couple of years.
He's furious, man. The hair coming out of the helmet.
I know.
He's an intense player. So they ran away from Central Michigan, ultimately ended up winning 37-10. But the game was over when, Dave? Going into halftime, Toledo's up.
I did not see the very end of that.
Toledo's up 17.
Fill me in, Phil.
Toledo's up 17-3. And if you're Central Michigan, you're like, okay, we're down two scores. We got the ball. Maybe we can get something before half. An ill-considered out route turns into a pick six. Okay, so that's already worst-case scenario. You get the ball back. Now there's under 15 seconds to go. Kneel it. Yeah. They run another ill-considered play, fumble. Toledo gets the ball back and kicks a field goal. So they gave up 10 points right before half. They go into half down 27-3, yeah. And the game was over then, even though they played two more quarters.
I guess that's what happens when you no longer have Connor Stallions on the sideline. I saw Jim McElwain just when...
looking for him. Yeah. Oh, I was looking.
Well, he's now, he coached at an inner city Detroit school during the season, was an interim coach, and now he's moved to an offensive analyst for Belleville, which is the school that is, what's the guy's name? Bryce Underwood, five-star quarterback that Michigan is all over.
Well, they need to be doing that.
Oh, well, I guess. But Underwood's currently committed to LSU, but Michigan is actually offering what has been reported as a $10 million NIL package to flip him to Ann Arbor, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. He's only 20 minutes away, and you need to go to those lengths to get him to come to Michigan. It's just kind of like, all right, what will it take? $100 million? $200 million? We'll give you the school. Anyway, the point is Connor Stallions was otherwise occupied, and Jim McElwain, Central Michigan coach, under investigation for Central Michigan's role in the drama last year. So you did not see him, just to confirm.
I don't know if I saw him. Okay, that's the thing about a ninja.
I know.
How would you know? How would you
know? I don't think he was there.
I don't think so either, but you never know with Connor Stallions. Right.
Well, just the result speaks for itself.
So, speaking of our Wolverines, they, and this is not my take, but I thought it was funny. For the first time, Indiana was in a trap game where Indiana was not the trap. Michigan was the trap for Indiana, and Indiana dusted them. What'd you think about that game?
Man, I don't know about dusted. 5-point win, and it's kind of coming down to the wire there. Good. It's kind of interesting that Michigan has fallen so much this season that was portrayed by some as a little bit of a show of their resilience.
Well, was and
maybe
that a moral victory?
Maybe a slightly slight moral victory. It's the losingest program of all time versus the winningest program of all time. Plucky Wolverines against powerhouse Indiana. So great performance. I lost your fourth time in five games, but really encouraging for the Wolverines, Phil. And probably better for Indiana that they are finally pushed and they can kind of know that they have it to close out a game like that. Indiana had a chance to kind of step on Michigan's throat early, only went in with a 17-3 halftime lead. Probably could have been 24-27-3. And it got a little hairy there late. But yeah, it's all setting up for just an absolute monster game in Columbus next week. Who would have thought Ohio State, Indiana, top five showdown with basically the chance to go to the Big Ten title game on the line.
Now, there's a school in front of them, David, the Northwestern
that's
Wildcats.
True, that's
They're
true.
They're going to put their foot in the ground.
The split allegiance here. I assume you'll be at Wrigley Field on Saturday.
My parents will be.
Oh, nice.
I will not be, but my father, shout out Dean Kaplan. My mom, shout out Kim Kaplan.
They'll be rooting for the Buckeyes?
They will be rooting for the Buckeyes. Kim will be rooting for the dinner afterwards, but she's a good sport. She'll be there. She's actually a Michigan girl.
Yeah,
but she supports the Big Ten and she supports going to Chicago.
Absolutely. That's what she Do you know where the dinner is afterward?
I don't, but I'm sure they'll tell me about it.
I'm sure we'll
both have room to be jealous. Speaking of cleaning the plate, we do have to touch on, at least briefly, Ohio State, a proper dusting.
A proper dusting.
Of Purdue. Any thoughts?
Not really.
Are they better than their 1-8 record now?
I think they were. It was a little close early, and Ohio State just turned it on. Just an all-around incredible performance by Ohio State, or unbelievable, as Scott Loeffler would say. No, just taking...
That one I would actually qualify as believable.
I don't know, something to be said for kind of rounding into form and just taking care of business.
Yep.
And not much to be said.
When we come back on the Heart of the Rivalries halftime segment, we're going to go off the field and we're going to examine neutral sites when Ohio State visits Chicago. Northwestern is currently building a super, you know, a super stud stadium, but they don't have that yet. So they will be playing in a retrofitted Wrigley Field. And Dave Briggs is going to talk to us about some of his favorite neutral sites. Isn't that right?
Sure. Let's do it. Do we have our sponsor yet?
The Heart of the Rivalry, brought to you by
Coca-Cola. Remember, fans, where there's Buckeyes, there's Coca-Cola. Enjoy.
You do it. Who is the guy that does that voice for the Ohio Stadium? Do you know who he is?
Yeah, Bob Kennedy. He's dead. Bob Kennedy. He died a couple years ago.
Well, they have somebody doing it now.
Well, right, but it's not.
But he does this. Whoever does it now does the same inflection. Take your career for a test drive with a co-op.
Like football stadiums. Let's the coolest game for sure is Oklahoma, Texas, which is awesome. Like the stadium is, the Cotton Bowl is inside the Texas State Fair. So it's just this incredible, just sights and smells and sounds. And I mean, you have the fair, I mean, literally 100 yards from the stadium. So it's awesome. And that's kind of one of the cool quirks, kind of throwback quirks of college football. Like you could move that game to Jerry World or you could play that on campus. But instead, it's played, one of the most valuable brands in all of college football is played in an old stadium, the Cotton Bowl, just awesome in every way. So
Cotton Bowl used to be a more premier bowl game, did it not?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was a bigger deal. Yeah, I didn't realize it was in the middle of the fairgrounds. That's incredible.
It is. But the Cotton Bowl actual Cotton Bowl game is at Jerry World. Oklahoma, Texas, Red River Shootout is at the original Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
Just like the Orange Bowl moved from the actual Orange Bowl to Pro Player Stadium or whatever it is now to the nice stadium in the suburbs there. And now the old Orange Bowl does not exist anymore. It was razed. But the Orange Bowl game does exist. So...
What is the term most neutral is what a null set term, but what is the most neutral place that Ohio State has played?
What do you mean the most neutral?
Did they play at Otterbein? What is sort of the weirdest place that Ohio State has played in its history?
First of all,
at Otterbein?
No, this won't be a neutral site game because it'll probably be 65% Ohio State fans.
It's also in Northwestern's backyard.
Right. And it would have been, you've seen like the actual, like they've played a couple of their games at, I think they play most of their games at that little temporary stadium they've set up on the water. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I don't know if they probably actually kind of like it.
I know
it's
not
just a gorgeous views, and I know it's not suitable for Ohio State. Maybe when you can sell, they could have sold out Soldier Field. So it's interesting they went to Wrigley Field with only 40,000 seats. But Ohio State, I mean, they've played, of course, at Cleveland Brown Stadium. They played Toledo. Which was actually a Toledo home game, which is just the most incredible coup for Toledo. Toledo got all the seats, 75,000 seats. They got all the money from that. That was just an incredible favor from old Ohio State AD to former Toledo AD Mike O'Brien. That's still just mind-boggling. Ohio State also played Northwestern at Old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland in the early 90s.
Right.
So that's kind of.
I remember this game.
Were you at that game?
I think
it was maybe 93.
Wow. Carlos Snow?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, that era.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look at the attendance. I can't imagine that was sold out. It may have been, but.
Do you know that when you look at the old record books for highest attended college games, everybody thinks that it's the Ohio States and the Tennessees and the Michigan that are setting the records every year? No. They are all from the 20s, and they're like 125,000, 130,000 at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
People used to watch. I don't know where the extra seats were, but the records are... And who knows how accurate they are.
Yeah.
But it was supposedly up to the 130,000, you know, watch an army.
Right. Well, the old Soldier Field was weird because, like, the stands went, like, way beyond the field. So, like, it's kind of like the, I don't know, like, L.A. Coliseum where, like, some of the, oh, it's not really the same. But
it's like Detweiler Park.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Detweiler Park. But, yeah, Let's get to the real heart of the matter here, though. And that's that Ohio State, Michigan should be in Toledo. I mean, who does not agree with that? I mean, Toledo, again, the cultural center of the rivalry. Some of the great rivalries are played in neutral sites. Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, Georgia, world's biggest cocktail party. You know, you can go on. And I think we would all agree.
You wouldn't put it at the Glass Bowl, though.
No, no, no. We can all agree that Ohio Stadium and Michigan Stadium are, you know, nice little facilities. But
yeah,
what this game really needs is the throwback to the Jack Dempsey fight in 1920, I believe.
Yep.
When Toledo, Ohio built a 100,000-seat stadium at Old Bayview Park on the water, constructed by wood. All made of wood, probably the world's biggest fire hazard. But it's just, yeah, the craftsmanship was remarkable. I love looking at the, we've got old photos up here. We don't have a photo of the old stadium, but just the coolest facility you can imagine, kind of like a mini Michigan stadium. Just
wide and shallow.
And probably as short as Michigan Stadium when you're walking up to it on the outside, because it was just, yeah, it was actually kind of like a very slightly graded like sledding hill. I mean, it was just so shallow, the incline.
I would love to see 110,000 people in that Weather Park.
Well, they actually, they actually did not get anywhere close to that. It was horribly attended. It was like 55,000, 60,000 maybe. It was a horribly hot day. The tickets were way overpriced.
It was the hottest day of the year.
Yeah, tickets were way overpriced. The benches were melting, the sap was getting on people's clothing, they were getting attaching to the seat. But anyway, that just shows if you can build a quick stadium in 1920, if you can build the pyramids in prehistoric times, you can throw up a quick 100,000 seat stadium every November in Toledo, Ohio. And I think everybody agrees Toledo is where Ohio State, Michigan should be played each year.
You heard it here first, folks. 2025, the game, Ohio State, Michigan moves to Toledo. No. Its proper home.
Need at least a 45-50 year advance.
So depending on who wins, Toledo should flip-flop which state it belongs to. You know what? Originally, it was supposed to be Toledo, Michigan.
Right,
now it's Toledo,
right.
Ohio.
Yeah, no,
because
for
of
sure.
The Ohio won the Toledo War and right, Michigan got the UP. So if Michigan wins, Toledo becomes Toledo, Michigan for that year.
Yeah, that
Ohio
is good
State
point.
Wins,
yeah.
We become Toledo, Ohio.
That actually would be a great thing. Yeah, you just take it to the full extreme. Like, Ohioans have to pay Michigan taxes and vice versa. And would you have to vote?
Game.
Would you have to vote in the next election as a part of... You'd have to take it to the extreme, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
you
absolutely.
You become a Michigander.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
We
no,
all
that's,
flip
could that...
We get no-fault insurance.
Right. That would be fascinating because, I mean, it would even... Michigan's a swing state. I mean, Toledo's... obviously, Lucas County, Toledo would skew much more
blue. You don't think we're going...
Blue and blue.
You don't think we're going beyond our jurisdiction of college football here, do you?
No, I don't think so.
No, I mean...
That would be... Yeah. Pay your taxes, vote.
Cheer hard for the Bucks if you want to stay in Ohio.
Well, people always mock the fans of Ohio State fans mock Toledoans who root for Michigan. It's like how do you root for a public school out of state and vice versa? So when Toledoans lose that right and become part of Michigan, would you have to switch allegiances if you want to root for your home state school? Or would you just have to be a? Would you just have
you'd
to?
You'd have to fill out. I think you'd
would
have,
you have
to fill
out,
like
a special request,
like a work visa.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
That all checks out. Okay, that's been maybe our most beloved edition of the halftime segment as we spread out beyond the boundaries of college football into world building and statehood. We will be back in the heart of the
Michigan.
Rivalry.
Michigan wanted to build their campus in Toledo. We've talked about
see?
That before.
You see?
University of Michigan like bought a plot of land in Toledo and they wanted to initially
people
build it
think
in
this
Toledo.
This is an imaginary cloud. We
I
are
know.
Moving mud of reality
this,
here.
This
people.
Is true. But that's for a couple weeks from now.
Welcome back to the Heart of the Rivalry. We are scouting ahead. We have a light slate, a couple bye weeks. Tuesday matching contributes to that. Ohio State will be visiting, as we discussed, Wrigley Field to play Northwestern, both of my alma maters meeting.
Yep.
And UT travels to OU.
You'll have dual foam fingers.
I will have dual foam fingers, one in purple and one in scarlet.
UT hosts Ohio U.
They're always, I never get it right.
big game for the Rockets. they don't completely control their own destiny. It was hurt a little bit by Buffalo beating Ball State, coming back from a 2-touchdown deficit earlier this week. That was a bummer for Toledo. So both of them now have 2 losses, and Buffalo having beaten Toledo.
In the House of Horrors.
In the House of Horrors. So they would have the tiebreaker there. But if Buffalo loses next week to Eastern Michigan at Eastern Michigan, which I think is kind of likely, Toledo would, I believe, control most of their destiny, if that makes sense.
Still need some things to happen,
but OU seems like a toss-up game. Ohio is playing pretty well this year. So should be fun. Wednesday night in the Glass Bowl, hopefully a big crowd. Probably not, but
okay. And then we travel out to Skokie, and we'll see the Chicagoland Buckeyes. This edition of Northwestern, they're typically a feisty team. They seem a little down this year. What does Northwestern have to do to win, Dave?
Play their best game in 10 years and hope Ohio State is thrown off by the unique setting. I know Ryan Day was mentioning in his press conference this week that just kind of all the quirks, and Ohio State normally doesn't show up to the game on the day before, but they are going to walk through Wrigley Field on Friday just to kind of see the quirks and the weird corners and the fact that if you step 1 inch beyond the end zone, you might crack your skull open.
You said they're also not going to the visitors' locker room?
They're not going to the visitors' locker room. If you've been to Wrigley Field, it's just such a bizarre setup in kind of the catacombs, and you're walking through, like, it would take the team like 5 minutes to get to the visiting locker room.
So they're just going to hang out?
They're just going to hang out in the bullpen, and that's, so it's going to be, I don't know what the weather will be like, but they won't be able to warm up. Day will just be out there yelling at them in front of everybody, unless it goes as we probably anticipate it will. So I think Ohio State's 28-point favorite. Maybe they're looking a little ahead to Indiana, first time anyone's ever said that, but I would expect them to cover.
Take the Cats with the points, but not for the money line. Those are my opinions that do not reflect that of the Toledo Blade or David Briggs. Thank you for yelling at me throughout this fine edition, our 11th program of The Heart of the Rivalry. We will see you next week. Thanks, Dave.
Godspeed.
Bum, 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 bum. Let's go. Take your career for a test drive.